Well, I preach so much, I come down to hear preaching. I do preach a lot, but it's always good to preach. I'll tell you what I'm going to do is pick up in the middle of a series I've done. I want you to turn to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter. Let's look at verse number 1 of 2 Peter. I don't know, it's 22, 3 years I've been coming down in here, so everybody knows me and I know them. Every time I come here, I have to defend myself all week. Praise God, these people always picking on you, making fun of you. Praise the Lord. I've had more people, I go, they'll say, can you get us a copy of that song that wrote about you? No, you don't have that either.
Amen.
I know God wasn't in that either. Praise God. Well, 2 Peter chapter number 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, if you look back at verse 3, he talks about divine power. And in verse 4, he talks about a divine nature. And I've been doing a thing on having this divine nature. Thank God for the divine nature. I looked that word up, divine, many definitions of it. And one of them is this, extraordinary. We've got an extraordinary nature about us if we're saved. And see, our nature is opposite of the world. That's what's wrong with churches as I travel. Got too much of that first nature in it. You understand? Everything is geared toward that first nature. But you've got another nature. And in this nature, you're going to have to know a few things by way of opening. I don't know how much this I'll do. But first of all, let me say this. You're going to have to realize God don't think like the world thinks. It says here that we are a partaker of His divine nature. That's the problem. We've got man's wisdom involved in church now. And I'm not here to preach against colleges and things like that. But I'm going to tell you, that's where the tares are coming from. I said, there's where the tares are coming from. I told a boy the other day in our church, 18 years old, he's going to go to college somewhere. I said, now when you get there, you stay down there. That's a spit in my face. If my preacher couldn't train me, I'd get me a new preacher. I knew that wasn't going to go good. I'd get me a new one. That was given to the preacher. To perfect the saints for the work of the ministry. It's given to the local church. And so what we do, we don't think like God thinks anymore. If you would, and I'm just taking my time here, but look at 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 1. He tells us about this wisdom. He tells us in chapter 1 and in verse number 19, he tells us about this wisdom of this world. And he tells us, he says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the purity." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so what he's saying here is, God don't think like y'all think. You see, the world thinks something big. He says here that God uses the base things. Things that are not to confound the wise. They can't understand. God said this, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts." God don't think like man thinks. I wrote down some paradoxes. See, that's why Jesus taught in paradoxes. You see, Jesus taught this. He taught the last is first. That's contrary to your nature. The nature that you was given. Your mom and dad says first is first, but Jesus taught that last is first. Jesus taught that giving's receiving. You see, he don't think like the world does. Jesus taught the least is the greatest. That's contrary to your nature that you have of your father and your mother. You see, you have an extraordinary nature. You have God's nature. You see, he taught, Jesus did, that dying's living. He taught that serving's ruling. He taught weakness was strength, you see. He taught poor was rich. I don't even get our name. Hey, there's a side of me that says, that's crazy. But I got another side of me that is extraordinary. It's called a divine nature. You see, he taught this. He taught sad is happy. Well, he said, blessed is the morn. He taught this. He taught hungry's being filled. Our nature cannot comprehend that. That's why you got to have a new nature that only God can give a man. You see, that's why we got so many people in our church today. They don't like this atmosphere. Hey, they don't like what's going on because they don't have the nature that it takes to be around something like this. That's why you can go to a football game and get happy because you got that kind of nature and you don't have this kind of nature. That's why that excites your other nature. Preaching won't do nothing for you. You say, why? You don't have this new nature. You got to have this new nature to like these kind of things. I never started liking church till I got a new nature. I never started liking the Bible till He gave me a new nature. I never started liking anything until I got that divine nature, and it's going to take a divine power. He taught persecutions joyful. That sound right to you? That's what He taught. You know why? He had a divine nature. To think what I'm thinking, you're going to have a divine nature. I'm going to get to it. Just stay with me now. I'm talking about having this divine nature. Thank God that you and I have been given this divine nature of God. Praise God. You see, we don't think like the world thinks. Number two, now just by way of opening, stay with me here. We don't see things like the world sees. You see, while they look on things that can be seen, we're looking at things that can't be seen. And they can't see them because they're blinded. And to see what we're seeing, they're going to have a divine nature to see what we're seeing. Hey, yeah, there's a lot of things. Hey, you'll never see it till you get that divine nature. You see, the world looks at things. You remember Jesus went up there in Luke 4 and verse 5, the devil takes him up there and shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Did you ever notice what it says? It said he showed him all that in a moment's of time. But you see, it's going to take God eternity. And still ain't going to see it all. Devil must not have much if he can show it in a moment. He don't have as much as you think he's got. You see, they don't see it, you don't understand. The world sees it. They see a church out here with 2,000. They say, boy, they're doing something right. God don't see it that way. let me say this. That's a good sign. They're doing something wrong. Been preaching in a few of them. I didn't know these that corrupt. Corrupt? You're looking at somebody that's been preaching in them. I preached one not long ago, 4,000. I sat with a preacher and they tell you, he sat over there and here's what he told me. He said, don't ever think this is about God. He said, you're nothing but a novelty. Now get up there and do your little trick. They like to bring a hillbilly in where they all can happy and clappy and laugh. Places ain't got no God in them. You see it. You see, if you get looking like the world looks, you're not going to look at it right. You're going to have a divine nature to look at things right. That's why He had to give you a new nature. You couldn't listen. You thought like the world thought. Hey, you see things like the world see until He give you a divine nature, and then things change. Now, stay with me here. Look to here. Now, this thing of divine, it means extraordinary. Then it means this. It means apprehending above what is human. This is in your dictionaries. Apprehending above what is human. You see, the reason some people can't apprehend what is of God, you know why? The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, and he can't know them. You'd be surprised what people think are spiritual where I've been traveling. I heard a guy sing, Michael rode the boat ashore. Y'all hear that? He got up and sung, Michael rode the boat ashore. Hallelujah. Them dummies clapped to it. You understand what I'm saying? We've got a bunch of junk now. We can't get it out. And listen, I'm not long for this world. As young as I am, I'm in bad health. So I've got to the point where I'm just going to tell it like it is. We need to get some of this junk out. But now we've got so engloomed in it and so doomed in it. Now we're so distorted. Hey, listen, we need somebody that's got a divine nature to stand up and say, look, this ain't right. Amen. You see, they can't apprehend. Now, let me show you why you can. I'm going to get in the message. But look at 1 John. Now, look at 1 John, and I'm going to start preaching right here in a minute. I'm just laying the foundation here. I want you to look. Look at 1 John. Now, look at chapter 2. If you would, look at verse 21. He said, ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now here's what he's saying. You got an anointing is the reason you know things. The reason you know something, God's give you something to know. That's why he said we know the spirit of truth and error. A saved person knows the spirit of truth, and he knows error. You say, what's that mean? He's not going to go with David Koresh in a building out in Waco and burn up with him. Saved man ain't going to say that's Jesus Christ. He ain't going to go to Guyana and drink some poison and follow Jim Jones. You know why? Because God gave him a new nature that knows better than that. Now you say, what in this new nature? I just want to look at it a minute and I'll let you go. Listen, he said this, not only this divine nature, but you notice he said divine power. I don't want to get in this, but let me tell you what, I looked that word power up for you. It means strength. It means energy. It means legal authority. So that's what we got today. You know, our pulpits are full of word-only preaching. Paul said, my preaching didn't come in word-only, but it came in power, spirit. We got a bunch of preachers who knows truth, not a bit of power on what they're saying. I'd go to sleep too. See, preaching ought to have a force to it. See, anointing talks about power. You understand, when they anointed somebody, it was giving them authority.
we got preaching today has no authority in it, has no power in it. But he said, now when you get saved, I'm going to give you a divine power. And he said, I'm going to give you a divine power, and I'm going to give you a divine nature to go along with that divine power. Amen. I like singing with divine power. There's a difference. You can get two people, I learned a lesson a long time ago. You can get two people, and listen, a lot of time, most time it don't have nothing to do with talent. You get somebody that's got that divine power on them, it'll touch them. The rest of it comes out about that far and dies before it gets out in the pew. Because they don't have no divine power. Amen. Well, let me give you the three things and I'll get out of the way. I ain't feeling good anyway, but let me tell you this. Number one, this divine power. Now, in this divine nature, you become love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. Now he said, you are a partaker of his divine nature. You know, in your nature that God gives you, you know what it does? It'll make you love people you don't want to love. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I want you to get a hold of this. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at Matthew chapter 5, if you would. I'm mostly trying to teach something in here. Look at Matthew 5. Look at verse number 43. He said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now you understand, to do that you're going to, you can't do that with your own strength. You don't believe that? Find somebody hate your guts and go up and love them. You know what it's going to take for you to do that? You're going to have a divine nature. You say, that can't be done. Hey, he said it can, or he never told you to do it. He said, love your enemy. You know what it takes to do that? It takes a divine nature. Hey, when you was God's enemy, you know what he did? He loved you. Hey, he loved you when you didn't love him. Hey, he loved you when you hated him. He loved you when he didn't want to do nothing with you. I'm going to tell you, he said, listen, you're going to be a partaker of my divine nature. It's going to make you love your enemy if you got to do it. He'll do it. You say, how am I going to do it? You're going to have some divine power to do that. I said this, and I wouldn't say this if my wife and everything was here, but my wife was raised in a foster home. Come home and told me one day, said, I'm going to move mother in with us. I said, you ain't moving her in here. Ain't no way, I don't want her here. After all what she's done, what in the world would you want her here for? You knew what I knew, you wouldn't want her there. Well, I finally said, you can bring her in here, but I'm not saying nothing to her. So she'd look at me and I'd look at her. And I come in here one day and I'm talking about a girl who's put in a foster home over abuse. Coming there one day, she's in there washing her feet, cutting her toenails. I said, how in the world can you do that? She said, if I don't love her, ain't nobody going to love her. Then I come in there, Brother Rick, I come in there and my refrigerator went out. I didn't know what she'd do. I said, I thought, what in the world going to do? She said, I've got a little money. She said, go get you one. She said, I'll pay for it. I said, get you a stove. She bought us a stove and refrigerator. I still wouldn't have nothing to do with her. Linda waited on her. I'm talking about the same woman that abused. She's waiting on her. You say, I couldn't do that. She can if you got divine power. You can if you got a divine nature. You can. That's how sorry and low down you was when you was a sinner. But God loved you. God loved you. He had the perfect nature. And thank God I've got a side of me that has that perfect nature. nature. It makes me love man. I ain't teaching the next week my dryer went out. She said, I've got a little money. I said, go get you a washer and dryer. Went and got a washer and dryer. Rolled her out there one day to the side of the house. She said, you need a deck or a porch on the side of this thing. I said, yeah, we're going to do that one of these days. I said, Eric said he would build it if I'd get the lumber. I said, I'm going to. She said, you tell him go get the lumber, I'll pay for it. Build a $2,000 deck on the side of my house. I'm trying to tell you how this love works. The more she kept, you know what the Bible said? It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. I found myself repenting to her. Her goodness caused me to repent. She is my friend when she left this world. I'm trying to tell you, God give you that. And you can. You got somebody you don't like. Go talk. Do good to them. You can do it with God's divine nature. But you can't on yourself. You say, well, I'm mad. I don't like them. That's that old nature. God give you another one. And as that other one says, it could be me. Let me show you, and you've heard this before, but I'm going to go through it with you. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 13. 1 Corinthians 13. You all understand what I'm saying is this. She showed a divine nature. I found out one thing, man, you win some people to God if you go in that divine nature. Look here at 1 Corinthians 13. You know this. It's about love, and we know all this. And you've heard it, but I want to just, while I'm on it. Now notice what he says here. I want you to get a hold of this. It'll take a divine nature. Now, look here at verse number 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, he said, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now what he's saying is, love is not in speech. Now, listen to what John said. He said, don't you love in word only, but in deed also. It ain't enough to say I love you. He said, prove you love them. Now you're going to have to do that. You're going to have a divine nature to do that. She had to have a divine nature to wash that woman's feet. Bathe her. Feed her. Had somebody done you that way? You say, I wouldn't do that. That's what I said. I'm going to tell you that divine power and that divine nature, it'll make you love everybody. He's saying this, and like I said, all this has been said before, but in verse 2, if you look at chapter 13 there, he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, that's love, I am nothing. And what he's saying is, my love is not in speech and it ain't in study. He said, though I have all knowledge, did you ever see some of these old dry preachers? About 5 D's behind her name and never show no love. All they got's a piece of paper. My uncle, before he died, he was a dean at Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati, dean of several colleges, professor at the University of Cincinnati. He said, you know, I come to the end of this thing, that junk don't mean nothing. That's what he's saying. Without love, if you can't love a sinner and you can't love sinner, can't love people, don't mean nothing. I've never seen preachers these days that don't love their people. They're segregated from them. Amen. I'm glad I've been able to win a few people. You know, Noah Broughton has had to defend me. People take cut and duck for he's ignorant. I'm glad he did one year, and you can ask me, one year at camp, he said, stand up and dirty spirit won you to the Lord. And there was 16 of them. He said, you need to shut up unless you've won some people, Lord, like that. Amen. That's good, preacher. You need to leave him alone if you ain't winning people to God. Amen. Do you know how I went full time in the ministry? Winning people to God. Amen. Giving Bible studies as put full time on staff, winning people to God. See, you can know all of this, and he said, you don't have love, you ain't nothing.
Yes, sir.
Love ain't in speech. I love you. You better watch somebody use that as a byword. Right. You ever see them families do it every time they get on the phone? Love you. Love you. Love you. Better watch using love for a byword. He said, don't you love just in speech only.
Yeah. Yeah.
But love indeed. Hey, love ain't in speech. It ain't in study. Look here, he said it ain't in spirituality either. He said, though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, and I don't have love, you know what I am? Nothing. You can be a faithful giant, and if you don't have love, you know the love of many is waxing cold. Nobody don't love anybody anymore. And I've learned from traveling here lately, the bigger you get, the less love. My uncle said that. He was a smart man. He said, don't let nobody lie to you. It's easier to pastor 1,000 than it is 40. Because he pastored 1,000 in Cincinnati. He said, when you've got 1,000, somebody gives you some lip, you tell them to hit the road. Hard to do that when you only got 40. He said, what you got to do to have 1,000, here's what he told me. You keep your convictions, but don't you preach them. You can't run 1,000 and preach convictions. Now, he's not saying everywhere. You take me to a church of 1,000, I'll show you some liberalism. They're not always liberals, you know. They're just, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They make you think, I'm like you are. No, you're not like me. I was thinking about that when I was out there in California at that church. I thought, buddy, you ain't like me. No, I've not got nothing in common with them. I like to have love, but it ain't in spirituality. You see, it ain't in study, and it ain't in speech. Then he said, watch this. He said, it ain't in sacrifice. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have charity, it profit me nothing.
Yeah.
He said, it ain't in my sacrifice. Look here. He said, it ain't in my suffering. He said, though I give my body to be burned and I don't have love, ain't nothing. You know what you got to have that? You've got to have a divine nature. Love your enemies. Can you love your enemies? You can't without a divine nature. See, because when you become this divine nature, now watch, you become love. Number two, you become light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Before he went away, you know he said, you are? Ye are the light of the world. Some people don't know how to be light. I want to be light. You understand? We got a call this morning. We're sitting over there eating. And one of our women, where she works, a woman from her work called me. Don't even know me. She said, you got a woman that goes to your church. She said, my daughter's had trouble. She said, do you think you could get her to talk to her? I said, yes, ma'am. I don't know you. Who are you? She told me who she was. She said, I'll tell you. She said, that Ashley girl said she goes all to this plant.
Yeah.
Witnessing to people.
Yeah.
I want to be a light.
Yes, sir.
Man, you know, sometimes you're a light, you don't even know you're one.
Uh-huh, right.
When I saved out of Church of Christ, and so now they're going to have to figure out who done the funeral. You know they didn't want me doing it. And there, he knows my brother, Danny, he's about half drunk half the time. There he was at the funeral home, I smell that breath on him. I can smell it on his breath. They said, well, who's going to do the funeral? He said, well, I think we ought to get Durbin. He's the only one living it.
That's good, preacher. Praise the Lord.
You know what that is? That's a light to my brother.
Yes,
and see, you can't have that without some kind of divine power. You see, a light is powered by something you can't see, but you can feel it. Don't believe that? I mean, you look at that light, you don't say, well, that's the prettiest electricity I've ever seen. So I don't see no electricity. Well, just wet your finger real good and take that light out. I'm glad I've got something I can feel. Don't you think there ain't no feeling? How about people say, now you can't base it on it. Hey, there's feeling to it. You can't base it on feeling, but I wouldn't give you a dime for something that don't have feeling. See, your divine nature feels something that the world can't feel. I've been sitting right next to my lost brother before, and God be touching me all over him sitting there not feeling nothing. Say, why? He ain't hooked up to the power source. Thank God I'm hooked up. Got a divine power. Hey, we can be a light to the world. You say, well, how do I know if I'm one? Are you winning anybody to God? See, when he said this, he said, darkness comprehend it not. You know what that means? You see, there's laws of God. Matter of fact, there's 10 of them. Y'all stay with me. There's 10 laws that you can break, and there's 10 laws you can't break. Now what God did, he said, I'm going to give you 10 you can break. Now here they are. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, bear false witness. Them 10 commandments, you can break them. Matter of fact, you have broken. But he also gave 10 in the Bible he's not going to let you break. Now you ready? Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Try to break that one. Try to plant an apple seed and wait to get an orange. You can't break that. So another law of God is, hey, darkness will never override light.
Yes, sir.
When light comes in, darkness has got to go.
Right. Yeah.
You ain't never heard somebody say, that darkness put the light out last night.
Yeah.
No, light puts the darkness out.
Hey.
Look here, you got the law of gravity. I don't care how high you jump, you're coming down, pal. It's a law of God. God said, you ain't going to break these. You understand? Listen, this is the law of God in the book of Numbers. And you go through that, and it's a law. Now what? Be sure your sin will find you out. That's a law. God said, you're going to be found out. Praise God. So what are you saying all that for? I'm trying to tell you, listen, we're a light, we're a light, we're always going to win over darkness. If you shine enough. I've won a few people to the Lord. I think y'all might have heard me tell about old Dob Combs. I witnessed the Dob Combs in our county. I'll tell you, we're in a county of 9,600 people. And it's the fifth biggest landmass in the state of Kentucky. That's all we got. And I had this old boy coming. Dob would get drunk and come to church. I said, you can't come this way. Well, he come one night about half drunk, and I didn't know it. I was preaching in a big way. Here's how bad he was. And I said, you know, people used to be friendly. You go to their house. And I said, you go to their house, and they'd always say, do you want a glass of water or a Coca-Cola? People used to be friendly like that. And old Dob hollered out, or a cold beer. I said, now Dob, you be quiet. He wasn't no count. Nobody didn't like him. And he was a pig farmer. Him and his wife, I went over there one time. And oh man, it was a nasty place. And she used to fix a biscuit and gravy, and I looked in there. She was a mechanic. She was a good car mechanic. And she was in there making them biscuits, Brother Rod. She was working that dough, and I could see that grease was in that dough. It was black. She said, you're going to stay around for some biscuits, ain't you, preacher? Some gravy. Now look here. They just need somebody to love them. And boy, I'll tell you what. Listen, we... I witnessed him. I had Dwight Kaufman preaching for me, and I said, let's go up. I said, we need to win this guy to God. I said, I'm just going to go up there and beg him to get saved. And I went up there, and there he was over there by the barn. And I always remember how big old water tobacco in his mouth. And I went up there, and we got talking to him. So Dwight got talking to him. So I just interrupted. I said, now, I said, Dob, I said, you're going to go to hell. And I said, I've told you everything about Jesus I know. And I said, God loves you. And I said, I just can't understand. And I just broke down crying. I said, I can't understand why you won't get saved. I said, won't you get saved today? And I ain't kidding. He went like this. He went, I believe I will. He got down there. He got to praying. He said, Lord, save me. Save me. I mean, tobacco going everywhere. Save me. Save me. Ah, man, I tell you, he got to crying. I said, Dob, did he save you? He said, yeah, preacher, he saved me. I'm telling you, tobacco, I mean, he spent it everywhere. Got saved by the good grace of God, baptized him, became a member of our church. I'm trying to tell you, if you'll be loved and you'll be liked, you'll be a soul winner. But you're never going to do it without divine power and a divine nature. In my regular nature, you know what I said? I don't want anything to do with him. He stinks. I want nothing to do with her. She's dirty. You know what they did? They started cleaning up.
Yes, sir.
I said, you need to clean up. Church is a special place.
Wow.
And they started cleaning up and coming to church. Praise God. Hey, man. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about being a light. Y'all have heard Brother Broughton. I know Brother Richard has Lula Redmond. You know that's my wife's great aunt. Went to sling for years. She'd shout her down, man. I mean, she'd shout the place down. You ask Brother Broughton. I was telling about one time they had to go to Winn-Dixie and get her. I don't know if you ever heard them tell that. They called over to church and said, we got Lula Redmond over here. Said she's kind of distorted, kind of out of her head. And they got over there, they had her in the office. They had her in the office chair, and that manager was a fan of her. So Brother Broughton said, Lula, said, what's wrong with you? She said, Brother Broughton, said, I got down there where them corns and beans was. I said, I got to think about how God made them grow. And she said, the Holy Ghost got on me real strange. Brother Dalton said, shucks, she's all right. She always talks like that. You know what she was doing in Winn-Dixie? She was shining bright, praise God. She was shining bright. Yeah, man. Oh. Praise God. There's just some people got it. You know, you got to have divine power to get away with stuff. I don't know, some of you might know an old preacher. I don't want to make me do that. Old preacher over in North Carolina, been pastor one church 54 years, Tom Turner. And you know how I'm a big cut up. I walked up to him, first time I ever met him. I said, if your head was on a hog, it'd bring $1,000. You got an old Tom, he looked down at me and said, yeah, I could stomp you on less ground you're standing on, too. But the grandkid says, preacher, how do you get away with that? How's somebody not killed you? It's got to be the divine power. Tell you can do a lot of things. I've learned. Listen, I went there to Owenton. We had five people. Now we're so full, we got no more in the room. You know what I'd do? I'd go out and preach. First year I was there, I preached 35 revivals. And I'd leave on Friday night. I'd be in North Carolina, leave on Friday night, come back, visit all day Saturday, preach Sunday, and right back out again Monday. But you know how you do it? You just become a light. It just draws. You ever see people's got it? We call it anointing. You know what it is? Because it's a divine power.
Yeah.
I'm winding down here. Here a few weeks ago, I want y'all to pray about something. These men know it. I was in Goldsboro, North Carolina. And I got teaching on rich people. I was teaching classes. And after I got done, this man come up to me and he said, I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't like that guy you're talking about. I said, what are you talking about, sir? He said, I made $32 million last year. Well, I didn't know. Man, I stay in this big old fancy place where this preacher put me, this old house. I got a knock at the door and it was him. He's the one that owned it. Jack Tripp was sitting there. Now, I'm just telling you, well, Jack Tripp's a good man, you know. He was having car trouble. This guy talked about how he gives money away. I said, well, right there, such a good preacher needs a car. Won't you buy him a car? Jack said, I could have fell over when you told him that. I said, here's what I did. I said, you need to help me. We need to build a church. He said, well, I'll come up and look at it. I said, you come up. He came to our church and gave his testimony then. Makes $32 million a year. I said, what would $300,000 be to a man that makes $32 million a year? And he told this preacher, other preacher I know, he said, you know why I like that boy? He said he had some boldness about him.
Amen.
He got ready to leave, and I had supper with him. I said, God has sent you to help us and we need some of your money. You're not going to do something like that without divine power. I'm talking about divine power. Y'all listen to me. I'm winding down here. I went and seen this fellow right here. You know, this is Tony Downing. He was a plant manager of a company where my brother worked. God said, you go see him. Went in there that day. He said, can I help you? I said, yeah, you can. And I'm telling you, just a few words, he broke down just a squalling and a bawling.
Oh, yeah.
Right there in that office. Wasn't long he come. He called me one night. I said, he's drunk. He probably was. He stayed drunk all the time. He said, I'm going to be at your church in the morning. I thought, yeah, that's an old drunk talking. He came. And the divine power was in that church that morning. Come and got saved, serving God, goes there with us to go in meetings like this.
You're
not going to do that without, you don't go up to a company. And I said, that lady, I said, I'm here to see Tony Downing like I have some kind of authority. She said, oh, yes, sir. Not going to get that done without some divine power. You see, we're not only light and love, but now let me say, third of all, what God is a lamb. We're to be like lambs. Now, you know, I'm in the biggest sheep county in Kentucky. One of the biggest. We got 3 or 4 farms that have a lot of sheep. And I've just heard hearsay, but I'm hearing it out of shepherd's mouth. I just learned so much about sheep just talking to one of them fellas. Talked to a fellow one day about them sheep. I like what he said about them. Here's what he said about them sheep. He said, you know, most people don't know, said sheep are like hogs. I said, they're like hogs. He said, yeah, they're like hogs. He said, you've got a fattened sheep. He said, you just don't shear it any time you want to. He said, you know, he said, if you don't fatten a sheep before you shear it, you'll scald the skin. And then he said, when that wool comes back out, it'll be dark. This old man looked at me and he said, "Preacher, you better fatten them sheep up at your church before you get to share them." He said, "You take an old fat sheep," he said, "he'll stand there and never move," and he's going, "That feels good." He said, "You take one that ain't fat enough," he'll go, "He's trying. You're hurting. Y'all still here, ain't you? I want to be like a sheep. I want to be a lamb. I want to be love. I want to be a light." I was telling, he was telling me, I said, "What about this stuff they get away from and all this?" And I said, "What do you do and all that, you know?" He said, "Well, if it's late," said, I just let them stay out there." Because he said, "Once they see they're in darkness, they'll start hollering out." He said, "They'll start going, bah, bah, bah." He said, "That's when they want the shepherd to come and get them." Well, I was thinking about that night at Carthage Baptist Church. I was, "Bah, shepherd come and got me." He said, "Now when they wander off," he said, "what you got to do is said, you got to hope that they're hung up somewhere." He said, "Because when they realize they're hung and they're trapped and they can't get loose, they'll, bah." Night I got saved, I realized I was trapped, couldn't get loose.
Yeah.
Shepherd come and got me. This is called a divine nature. If you want to read about God's nature, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's God's nature right there. His nature is love and joy. We got all that too. Here's my message to people. I've learned about people. If you, a man, especially a preacher, if you're not winning anybody to God, just need to hush. Your study don't mean nothing. Your speech don't mean nothing. Your spirituality. He said, if you don't have love, you ain't got nothing. I want to win a few people to God. I'm fixing to try to win my brother. I want you all to pray about that. We're leaving here, go up there, talk to my brother. He's been calling and talking, and we're praying that he'll get saved. And you all pray. He's 60 years old, time to get saved. You come, Brother Richardson, I'm done. I hope I've been able to help you. I'm not trying to harm you, I'm trying to help you. Y'all listen to Brother Spears one time. We need to get God into place. And the way you do that is having a divine nature. Them's the churches that's got power. Has that divine nature about them.